Good to be here this morning. Good to see each of you. Ask you to continue to pray that the Lord might be magnified. My dear Jesus, precious Jesus, wouldst thou raise me to thy feet so that in such hallowed posture thy dear name I might repeat. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus. Jesus called it paradise. You remember? Hanging on the cross. A thief over here and a thief over here. And the only righteous man that's ever lived in this world hanging in the middle. Jesus called it paradise. He wasn't some kind of put on show. He wasn't a pretend to be man. The evening before he had prayed in that garden, Father, if it be possible. Was that some kind of something to impress us? That was a real prayer. He didn't pray, put on prayers.
Right.
He was dreading it. The man Jesus Christ was a real man with real feelings, with real fears. The one who had said, "Fear not," so many times. I can't help but think he's in fear that night. He knows what he's facing. And he says, "Father, if it be possible." The one who had grown weary with his journey and sat on a well a few months earlier, his journey's really going to get hard now. "Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done." He faced it willingly, but with dread in his heart. And now he hangs on that cross and he's really hurting. He's really in agony. He's really suffering. If he's not really suffering, then who got the punishment? He has to be theologically. He's not a showman. He's a man hanging on a cross. And I'll bet he's thinking about paradise. What do you reckon? You ever been weary and think about paradise, how it might be? He knew how it was. We think about how it might be. Here's these two thieves in Matthew's account. They're both railing on him and mocking him and making fun of him. Like the crowd. If you're really God, jump off that cross. If you were really God's son, he'd take you off that cross. If he's really God, he's not going to get off that cross because his love is sufficient to hang on there for you and for me. Amen. And all of a sudden in Luke, you got to watch these contradictions in the Bible, you know. That's why we know it's not real, because all these contradictions. Like in Matthew where it said both thieves were railing and then Luke didn't get it straight, or Matthew 1, I don't know. I believe they both got it straight. I know they both got it straight. Because thy word is truth. Well, how do you reconcile such a thing, brother? Well, I got a feeling Matthew said it just a little bit before Luke said it. Or what Matthew wrote about happened just a little bit before what Luke wrote about. You know what I think makes the difference here? Holy Spirit born again. Let me ask the difference. There's no contradiction. If we throw out that part as a contradiction, we may as well throw the whole book away. It all fits. Now, I can't make it all fit, but I think I can make this one fit. Matthew said they're both railing, and all of a sudden, a mighty act of God. Holy Spirit comes down in power, and one of those thieves is born again. And he's a new man, a new creature, new way of thinking, new attitude, new feelings, new hope, a faith in his heart. And he looks over at this man, looks like he's going nowhere. And he said, remember me when you get to your kingdom.
That's what he said.
If he's a king, if it's a kingdom, there's a king.
Amen.
If it's his kingdom, he must be the king. And all of a sudden, this man's eyes are enlightened and he understands something. He has hope in his heart. He prays, "Don't forget me. Please don't forget me. Remember me." I'll tell you what the Bible says. Your mama may forget you, but he won't.
There you go.
He won't. "Remember me when you get to your kingdom," said that old thief, after being born again. He threw mocking. He looks at that other thief, said, "Who do you think you are? Do you know who you're talking to? We've done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. We're hanging here justly for our sins. And remember me when you get to your kingdom," he says to that king. And Jesus said, you know what he said?
Today.
He said, "Today." Now that's not today, but it was today that day.
Amen.
That today was 2,000 years ago, before this day, or give or take a few. But he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Doesn't that sound good? Isn't that sweet? Now, he was with Jesus on the cross, but he wasn't going, by the end of the day, he's going to be with Jesus in paradise. I like the sound of the word paradise. Many, many years ago, I was a young man. We were on vacation down here at Panama City Beach. Another family with us, this other guy, he climbed poles for a living. There's a crew working out there in front of where we're staying. They're climbing poles and changing out lines or whatever they were doing. This guy, the first of the week, he says, I think I'm just going to go ask that foreman if I can have a job and stay here. You know why? We were in paradise. There was a beach and there was a warm breeze and there was, oh, it was paradise. We were off work for a week. Didn't have to go back till next Monday.
Oh, wow.
That's right. That's paradise. What do we think of paradise? And I said, if you was climbing that pole, you wouldn't think it was paradise. Well, I guess you're right. But the longer the week went on, he kept talking about it. I thought he was going to do it. But we went back home, went back to work, got something we called paradise for a few days, but it wasn't paradise. Not this paradise like Jesus is talking about. Today you'll be with me in paradise. There's a side of me that wonders. I got the Spirit in me, and he believes most time, sometime, a little bit anyway. Help thou mine unbelief. Then there's the other side, and he argues. And he says, reckon it's real. And I preach at nursing homes, and sometimes the closer you get, the more real it seems. And sometimes it seems like those folks get to doubting and thinking, is it real? Is what Mama told me right? Is what the preacher said right? Is there really a place called paradise? Did Jesus know what he was talking about? He called it paradise. He had come from there. He built the place. I think he knew what he was talking about. I think if Jesus said it, he got it right. One time, a little bit before that, he had said, let us pass over to the other side. Remember? Let us pass over to the other side. Now they're out in the middle of that Sea of Galilee, and these seasoned fishermen, there's a storm comes up and the boat's filling up with water, and Jesus in there asleep on a pillow. He doesn't care. He doesn't care a thing about me. Or he'd get up and help us. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Don't you care? O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? He gets up and he says, peace, be still. There's not a breeze. You know, usually it takes that body of water a while to settle down once the wind stops. You think it took any time? You can look in that water and see yourself. It's glass. He said, be still. The wind got still. The water got still. They just thought they were afraid. Now it says they became exceedingly fearful. What manner of man is this?
That's right.
They can stop that wind and stop those waves and bring peace with a voice. You know what it says next? They're on the other side. Remember what he said? Let us pass over to the other side. He said it. It happened. He said, Lazarus, come forth. You reckon there's a snicker in the crowd? Everybody didn't have time to laugh. Because he said, come forth. And before they have time to figure out what he said, he did. Up comes Lazarus. Jesus said it. That's the way it is. He said, you'll go into the city and you'll find a colt tied. They went in the city. What did they find? There was the colt tied up. And then all of a sudden comes the horse owners. You know, horse thieving's pretty serious out west. It might have been over there too. And here comes the owners, but he said that other part, right? What did he say we were supposed to say? He said, what do you think you're doing cutting our colt loose here? The Lord needs him. That's what he said to say. They said, that's okay, you just take it. It'll be just fine. I added a little bit there, but he said it. And that's the way it was. He said to those two, he said, you go there and you'll find the good man of the house and you'll find a room furnished and prepared. What did they find? They found the man in the room just like he said. When he said it, it's right. He's got a good record going here, doesn't he? If he says it, I believe it's right. What are we looking for? He said it's paradise. Ah, but there's one final proof. How many times did he tell them, I'm going to Jerusalem. They're going to slay me. They're going to kill me. They're going to crucify me. They're going to bury me. And 3 days later, I'm getting up.
That's right.
He said it. The angel said, I know who you're looking for. He is not here. For he is risen. He said it. Now, somebody might say, well, he was just lucky. Now, lucky might find a colt tie. But lucky doesn't get up out of the grave.
Amen. That's
right. Amen, Brother Joe.
He said it, and he did it. He said it, and that's the way it was. He said it, and it's so. He said, we're going to paradise. The other side of me's catching on now. I've kind of quit doubting anyway. Right now, I believe there's such a thing as paradise. Jesus said it.
That's right. That's right.
The night before, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be upset. Don't be confused. Don't stop believing. You believe in God. He acknowledged that. And he didn't tell them to stop doing that. But then he added something that was about the same, but maybe a hair difference. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. He is God.
Yeah.
But they quit thinking that here in a few hours. When he hangs on a cross and he dies, God doesn't die, you know. And what would anybody with common sense think? We thought he was who he said he was, and now he's dead. Our hopes are dashed. And they don't remember what he said. Every time he'd say that to them about going to get up in 3 days, they'd say, not so, Lord, or they'd begin to argue among themselves who was the greatest, and that had sort of gone in one ear and out the other. And who could believe such a thing anyway, as a man that's dead can raise himself? And I don't know what you mean, but you can't mean what you're saying, so you must mean something else. And you know what you know the way the other side of me thinks, and that's what I've been thinking. And all of a sudden, he's dead. He's told them, you believe in God, don't stop believing in me. You know what, if they just spent 3 days believing in him instead of thinking what they were thinking, they'd had a whole lot better 3 days. What do you think?
Right, yeah.
Absolutely.
They'd been looking at their clock, and I don't guess they wore, they'd been looking at the sun, and he went across it. Boy, it's almost, day one's almost over. Day two, he's getting up on day three. But they aren't thinking that way. They've stopped believing. When you stop believing, you live a pretty rough 3 days.
Yeah.
Or you're in a wilderness for 40 years. Or whatever happens with unbelief, the Bible describes what happens with unbelief, and it's never the way we want to live life. Don't stop believing. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I'm going to prepare a place for you.
That's right. That's right.
And when I go and prepare the place, I'm going to come back and get you.
That's right.
That where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Don't stop believing. He got up that third day.
He sure did.
Just like he said he would. He spent 40 days with them, many infallible, undeniable proofs that he was real.
There you go.
Put your finger in that hole.
That's right. That's right.
If you doubt. Thomas, you had to see to believe. Blessed are those who see not and still believe. You know he got up. He proved who he was. Spoke to them many things about the kingdom, rose from this world and went back to glory. And as he's going up, there's two angels coming down. And those angels say, ye men of Galilee, why stand you gazing into the heavens? That same Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. He's going to fix everything. Resurrection fixes everything. A place called paradise. I go to make the place ready, and I'm coming back and get you. And I'm going to take you for that place I've prepared called paradise. Jesus called it paradise. Jesus even said, the Bible says in different places, that two witnesses prove truth. Anybody else been there? 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul said, about 14 years ago, I was caught up into heaven. Whether in the body, out of the body, I'm not sure about that. There were things he wasn't sure about. I don't know if I went in my body or if I just went in spirit. I don't know about that. There were things that I heard that's unlawful to speak. I'm not sure what he meant by that. I don't know if he knew what he meant by that. Things he wasn't sure about. But in the midst of that, telling of that story, he said, I was caught up into paradise. That's Jesus' word, isn't it? Paradise. Jesus had been there and come here and he called it paradise. Paul had been there and come back here and he called it paradise. Wow. I like the sound of that. There's a witness, a spirit witness into my spirit. There's something inside me. There's doubts in there. There's fears in there. But there's somebody, God himself, telling me it's paradise. There's a gift of faith that's not some kind of something we can conjure up. It's a miracle. Amen. And the miracle of faith gives me substance, realness of what I hope for, and evidence of that which I can't see yet. That's a witness that'll give you evidence. Tell you something, you believe it. That book right there calls it paradise, right. And thy word is truth. There's a lot of things telling me it's paradise. I want to tell you it's paradise. Now, that's the least witness you've got in this thing, but this preacher says it's paradise. I'm in the mood to believe it right now. Jesus said it, remember? Jesus said it. He got everything else right. I believe he got that right. I believe the place is ready. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely.
I believe it's waiting for us.
Yeah.
You know what somebody might say at this point? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you ready? Ever heard that?
Oh, yeah.
And then somebody might answer, well, I'm ready. Yeah, I'm ready. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not wanting to go today. But if it's my time, I'm ready. What does that mean? I'm not sure. I hate to put explanations and define what somebody else is saying, but what I think they're saying, I've done my part. And I'm ready. If it's works, I'm ready. If it's faith, I'm ready. Almost, it seems, leastwise mentioning himself more than Jesus, I'm ready. Mm. I've done it. Mm. I'm going. I'm ready. Trusting in self just about as much as trusting in Jesus. But if you question, oh yeah, Jesus, but... Mm-hmm. What if? Bear with me. What if I get to heaven? You got to understand, I'm kind of crazy. And I don't mean to be blasphemous. And I'm not trying to make a mockery out of anything or anybody, especially out of Jesus. But here's the way I think. What if I get to heaven, and there I am before the eternal judge, and what he says matters? This is going to be it right now. I'm going to see. Lord, I'm ready. But I find him kneeled down writing in the sand. Now, he did that one other time. I don't guess that's happening in heaven. Don't get me wrong. I'm just thinking. Weird sort of thinking, but I'm thinking. The way somebody like me thinks sometimes. What if he's writing in the sand, and I stand there a little bit, and he looks up, and he says, let him that is without sin. And he bends back down and starts writing again. Whoa. I thought I was ready. I thought my good was good enough. I thought I had dotted the I and crossed the T and met the mark. And what if he doesn't say, see you later? What if he says, it's forever? You weren't ready. Leave. Wow. That's scary, isn't it? Mm-hmm. What if I'm not ready? What if I get up there and I What if I find him asleep on a pillow? Now, he's God up there, and God never sleeps or slumbers. I know that. But I'm just still thinking in a crazy way of thinking. What if I find him asleep on a pillow? And I say, Lord, wake up, I'm here. And what if he wakes up and said, O ye of little faith? He woke up and said that one time.
Mm-hmm.
O ye of little faith. Well, I thought all I had to do was have this much faith. All I thought I had to do was just one time do this faith thing. And I thought that made me ready, Lord. O ye of little faith. One time he said, O ye of no faith. What if I died on a bad faith day? And that's what he said to me. Now, what if all those what ifs don't matter? What if I had nothing to do with the getting ready part? Are you ready for some gospel? Have I got you? Have I got you either so mad at me for mocking heaven? I don't mean it that way.
No.
Or so scared about dying that you're afraid to go? Let me take away those fears. The Lord will bless me with the gospel of Jesus Christ, the salvation by grace and grace alone, the Christ who made you ready and you didn't have to do anything. Isn't that sweet?
Okay.
I want to tell you something.
Okay.
When you get there, you're going to be ready.
Amen, brother.
Because he does the getting ready part. And there won't be one missing. There won't be one show up that's not ready to be there. That blood of Jesus made you ready without you having to do anything, without you having to help one iota, without you having to dot an I or cross a T or walk down an aisle or do anything good or bad. I'm not telling you not to do good. And I'm not telling you not to believe in Jesus. Those things are very important, to walk to his honor while you're down here. To believe in him, and that faith gives him glory and it'll give you peace. But that doesn't get you ready for heaven, because you didn't have to get yourself ready for heaven. When he said it is finished, that angel said, you call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. And when he said it is finished, he had finished it. He didn't say it is finished, but you got to do something to get yourself ready. He made you ready on that cross. He took away your sins as far as the east is from the west, never to be remembered again. He delivered the captives from their captivity. That's what redemption is. He paid the ransom price, and he delivered us from the captivity of God's wrath to the rightful owner, God himself. He delivered us from God to God in redemption. Isn't that awesome?
Oh, amen.
He made us ready. He got us ready. He did all the ready part. He made the peace that we couldn't make. We were as God's enemies. But God hath reconciled us to himself, by Jesus Christ. It's all of God. He got us ready. He's made us ready. You ready. The place is ready, and you're ready.
Absolutely.
Because salvation is of
God,
the
God.
Lord.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.